Kane11.com. Walk the world with.
You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Allen scoops inside, hands off to Giannis for his third dunk already, using the left hand. Outlet beat for Middleton, and then a pass up top from Allen to Giannis, who thumps it down on the alley-oop.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Milwaukee makes itself right at home here at Crypto.com Arena, sweeping not one, but two lopsided affairs against first the Clippers and now the Lakers tonight as they win this one 131-116.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
All right, let's see if I remember the line here. Not one, not two, it's just three. But three wins against the LA teams for the Bucks this season, and they sweep the Lakers. Giannis, Crypto.com Arena, Staples Center. Let's just call it the Giannis Dome, because what he has done to the Lakers this season. And look, I saw quite a bit of people up in arms. You're active on the Twitter, Greg. I saw quite a few Bucks fans pretty agitated over Dwayne Wade saying at halftime, Anthony Davis is more talented than Giannis. Look, I don't have a problem with him saying that. I mean, the reality is Anthony Davis probably does have more talent than Giannis. Just in terms of everything he does. Remember, he was a guy that went on a growth spurt. He's basically a guard in a center's body. I mean, Anthony Davis. Giannis has made great strides with all aspects of his game. If you're telling me your life depends on it, each of these two guys take 10 shots. Who do you want?
From where?
Three-point line.
Oh, boy.
Free throw line, I'm taking Giannis, because he's showed us, hey, you know what, in these big spots, I'm hitting free throws. Anthony Davis, it's fair to say he's more talented. I don't think that's a bad thing. Shouldn't be up in arms to say he's more talented. Dwayne Wade didn't say Anthony Davis is better than Giannis. He said he's more talented. It's probably true. Giannis is better, though. It's not even a discussion for that. It's like the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady thing. Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady. No one's taking Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady in a must-win game, though. It's the same with Giannis and AD. Yeah, AD probably has more talent, but I'm taking Giannis 11 times out of 10 when I'm drafting teams with these two guys. And look, I mentioned it on the network portion of the postgame show. Giannis, Kareem, and Wilt Chamberlain. How many times are we going to continue to find these statistics where it's, hey, Giannis and Kareem are the only guys that have done this, not just in Bucks history, but in league history? But look, Saturday night, Bobby Portis scored 30 points the first time in a Bucks uniform. He was incredibly efficient. I think his only misses were from three. They played the Blazers. It was on the road. And it kind of reminded me of, didn't Giannis do something similar last year? And you look it up and you see, yeah, that was, I think, 18-21, scored 47. And that was the game, by the way, where he tweaked his knee in warmups before the game. We caught it on the camera feed that he had during warmups, and I think Bally Sports showed it after the fact. He missed a couple of games afterwards. But it was like, oh, yeah, Bobby Portis did this. Giannis did something similar. Well, now on the same trip, Giannis basically replicates what he did. He scored 47 in that game last year. He didn't miss tonight. Shot 85% from the field, 17 of 20, and scores 44 points. He owns the Lakers. And, I mean, this dates back a couple of years now. But the moment in December when it was at Fiserv Forum a couple of years ago and Giannis crowned himself dominating the Lakers in that victory, they lost last year at home early in the season when I remember after that game on this show saying, yeah, the Lakers look really good. Like, they look like the best team out there. I just don't think the Bucks are on the same level. And then fast forward to May and June and July and see what happens there. But now tonight, earlier this season, 47 points that he scored at home against the Lakers. Tonight he scores 44. He gets up for these games. I think part of him is fueled by the Anthony Davis versus Giannis discussion. And again, it's fair for Dwayne Wade to say that, but it's not even a comparison if you're saying, who would you rather have? Like, that is long gone. Remember 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when it was, yeah, I'm still taking Anthony Davis, but it's pretty close. They're not even in the same sentence in terms of who would you rather have. So this, the best game we've seen Giannis play all year, because he wasn't just doing it against stiffs. Like, there was one stretch in the opening quarter where he shot a turnaround on LeBron James.
And baseline, yep.
Baseline, yeah. And LeBron, you could see just, I got nothing here. Like, this guy's in his bag. Man, like, when they did the slow-mo and LeBron's late to get the hand up and he's just up there, like, looking up at Giannis of, like, it went in, nothing I can do. It reminded you of early in Giannis's ascent when LeBron was the king of the East and he was with the Cavs, and those games where the Bucks would play the Cavs, you got up for those because it's, all right, let's see how Giannis compares to LeBron and maybe we can beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've flipped. Where now it's everybody gets up to play Giannis, and Giannis and LeBron have completely switched spots. This is Giannis's league, especially when you look at everything that's going on in the Eastern Conference and in the state of New York. 855-616-1620. Bucks dominate the Lakers. We talked about this over the weekend. Hate to say I told you so, but this is the exact same thing they did last year, right around this time. And maybe we have Nikola Jokic to thank. I'll explain again. I said it on, what, Sunday's show? We said it on the network portion of the postgame show. But in case you missed it, why the Bucks may owe a large gift to Nikola Jokic, 2 years running now. More after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Feeds it left of the lane to Giannis. Giannis defended by LeBron. Here's a fading jump shot on the baseline, and he sticks it right over King James. And the Bucks go back ahead by 21 points.
This one was a laugher early, and it's been pretty consistent on the West Coast road trip here. The Bucks have won 9 of the 12 quarters. Again, look, I know it's the Blazers, the Clippers, and the Lakers, and I told you, guys, don't be scared of the front of the jerseys. The Lakers aren't good. Russ was benched again tonight, kind of the under-the-radar. Oh, by the way, Dave pointed it out.
He was asked in his postgame press conference if he should be more involved in the closing lineups.
Yeah.
He was asked if he needs to put forth more numbers or a better sort of milestone. I forget the term that he used, and he dismissed it with a smile on his face. So good for him.
You know, in a lot of ways, it does kind of remind you of the Carmelo Anthony discussion from, what, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago? But the difference being, what Carmelo can do that's going to keep him around, and Carmelo Anthony's been a big piece for the Lakers this year, so that was a big absence for them tonight. But what Carmelo can do that's going to keep him gainfully employed, he can shoot. That's never been Russ's game. And what you're seeing is it's not aging gracefully for Russell Westbrook. So when he went out of the game in the fourth, that's when the Lakers went on their run. And that's kind of been a constant for the Lakers this season. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to get in touch with us tonight on the program. I would say, is this the best game you've seen Giannis play? But you can't make that. You've got to add the caveat of regular season only, because unless he scores 51 in a closeout game of the finals this year, nothing ever usurps game 6 on July 20th this past year. But regular season-wise, it's clear Giannis is one of those guys. He's obviously driven, but he's fueled by some of these snubs. He is. It's been fascinating to see the relationship, or lack thereof, between Giannis and his fellow NBA players outside of the Bucks. Like, we know it's great with his teammates, but there's something there between Giannis and LeBron I mean, you've seen the tweet going around all night tonight as well of LeBron James talking about inferring Giannis can't score. He can't shoot. He can't do this. He's now scored 91 points in two games against the Lakers since that clip came out. But I mentioned Nikola Jokic and the role that he may have played in basically getting the Bucks back on the right track 2 years in a row. Last year, remember the All-Star break was, I think, March 5th last year? Last year, about a week before the break, the Bucks played the Nuggets at home, and they were absolutely embarrassed. It was a 31-point loss. Nikola Jokic was great. It was right in the midst of that stretch of play where it was a lot like what we've seen most of this season. And I think there was more variables in play where you 50% of your roster was new. You were trying different things on defense. You were, how many times did we hear dunker spot last year? You were doing those things. And they were clearly experimenting, but it was very inconsistent. They were 16-13 at one point. And this came right around the time they had, I believe it was a 5-game homestand. It might have been 8 even. A lengthy homestand. And that was when they had 2 games against the Toronto Raptors with a day off in between. And the Raptors embarrassed them in both games. Shortly after that, they lost by 31 at home to the Denver Nuggets. And then everything just kind of fell in place where it was, okay, I guess now it's time. It's like the infamous RIP Kevin Green clip to Clay Matthews of, hey, it is time. And that was the message that seemed to be delivered to the team last year. They go 6-1 going into the All-Star break. They go 7-0 outside of the All-Star break. They finished with that the Jrue Holiday game winner to wrap up the first half of the season over the Memphis Grizzlies. And it just felt like as soon as that happened, okay, here they go. Still got a little bit of work to do. And there's 2 big games that I think we all have a lot of attention we're going to be paying towards Thursday, obviously, and 1 week from Thursday. But they're 4-0 since Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets beat them at home by 36 this year. And that seemed to be the breaking point. I mean, we heard, yeah, it wasn't pretty in the locker room afterwards. Coach Bud was obviously very vocal. We heard they had practices, which it's rare. Like you don't practice a lot at this level. It may surprise you to hear that, but you just don't. Part of that is scheduling, and when you're on the road, last year it was impossible to practice just for COVID restrictions, but it's not a frequent thing. They had practice after that, and they've responded pretty well. The game against the Wizards was, okay, it feels like they're 70% there. But these 3 games, I'm not saying the Bucks are fully back, but it is hard to find any negatives from these 3 games. I don't care about the level of competition, as we've had a few people call in after the Blazers game, after the Clippers game. Like, well, yeah, they won 2 in a row on this trip, but they played terrible teams. Sure, but they didn't have a bad quarter. And these are games they've been losing, or at least it's, man, why is this game close for most of the game?
I'm sick of that, too, because if, I mean, the Lakers was standing because they aren't good, but if did anyone give them the break when the Bucks lost to the Nuggets, when they got blown out, does anyone say, oh, well, they're playing a good team, you know what I mean? So we can't use that argument in, oh, they're playing a bad team, so let's dismiss this win, versus when they get blown out by a good team because they are also a good team, like that association doesn't make sense.
In the third quarter, after that Nuggets game, so from the start of the season until the Denver Nuggets game, where would you guess the Bucks ranked for net rating in the third quarter?
Oh, not good.
yes, you are correct.
All right, boom.
24th in the NBA.
Oh, man.
A negative 6.4 net rating. And I want to say for the month of January, I think they were 29th. And it was like a negative 21.4 net rating. And only the Pacers were close to them for bad. They were negative 26. The teams in the bottom 20, the teams in the bottom 10 So 21 through 30 for third quarter net rating. In other words, where you make your adjustments and you come out and you're refreshed and recharged. 30th is the Orlando Magic. Negative 11.2. The Pistons are also negative 11.2, and those have been far and away the two worst teams we've seen all season. And yes, one of them beat the Bucks at home. The Indiana Pacers are 28th. The Houston Rockets are 27th. The Kings are 26th. The Knicks are 25th. The Bucks at 24. And then 23 through 21 is the Lakers, the Pelicans, and the Thunder. That is not great company to be in. Told you the Lakers aren't good. They're in that category of not good teams. Even if you look at the bottom five, which the Bucks aren't too far off from, Magic, Pistons, Pacers, Rockets, Kings, those are five of the worst teams in the league. There is not one good team other than the Bucks you can point to and say, yeah, but, I mean, that team's good, right? It's terrible company to have. Now, in the four games since that disaster and the wheels fell off, Bucks are eighth in net rating, and eighth because tonight was the worst third quarter they've played of those four games. No disastrous quarters, not turning the ball over and leading to second chance and points off of turnover points. They're rebounding better. They're scoring in the paint. And they're getting out in fast break. I mean, these are all things they were not doing, or at least not consistently doing, for the first couple of months of the season. And now, eighth in net rating in the third quarter, small sample size, sure. But as we said, here's the teams you're associated with for the bad. Here's the teams in the top 10. And one of them is going to take a little bit of the wind out of the sails for this argument. But here's the teams in the top 10. The Miami Heat, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Boston Celtics, the Mavs, the Cavs, and then Pelicans, Bucks, Spurs, and Lakers. So most of those teams are pretty good. So again, just don't be a disaster in any of those individual quarters, and you see what a difference four games make. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. Thursday is the trade deadline, so we expect a lot to recap, if not for the Bucks, for the rest of the league, as we've already seen those moves start to trickle in. One of those is going to have an impact on the Bucks. We'll explain the trades after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. That's all.
Outlet feed for Middleton, and then a pass up top from Allen to Giannis, who thumps it down on the alley-oop. Oh, fireworks, downtown L.A. Milwaukee continues to scintillate.
All right, speaking of fireworks, we saw some this morning and this afternoon with two more trades. I have lost all journalistic credibility because I think about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I said, yeah, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of trades. If anything, it's just going to be teams trying to dump money and avoid the luxury tax, and then bam. Here's one, here's one, here's one more, here's one more.
The Pacers dismantle themselves.
I kind of feel like it's going to be crazy on Thursday now. So 2 p.m. Central Time is the trade deadline. There were two this morning. And the first one, I mean, so I held off on recording this morning's NBA AM until like 9-ish in the morning. Just because you started to hear more and more C.J. McCollum rumblings and thought, maybe something will happen, because this usually happens a couple of days before the deadline. You see a couple of moves. Held off on it. And just as I was finishing recording, it happens. So C.J. McCollum How do I put this carefully, Greg? Because here's the issue. You don't want to go on record saying anything bad, especially if one of those players ends up playing for the team that pays you. I'll just say I was very confused what the Pelicans are doing. And I saw like the value that the Blazers have gotten in some of these moves. But what are the Pelicans doing? I mean,
you could be safe there because you could say, what have the Pelicans been doing? This stretches for quite some time.
The reality is the Pelicans were probably going to be the 10 seed anyway. They're just like, hey, we're making sure we're the 10 seed now. I mean, what is a duo of CJ McCollum and Zion Williamson, we think? And I mean, CJ's, I think, going to be 32. Jonas Valanciunas is going to be 31. Like, you're locking into mediocrity for the next couple of years, but more power to him. So CJ McCollum goes, the Blazers. I'm just saying, the whole Brooklyn Nets discussion, it's a discussion on its own, which I think we're going to end up having on Thursday. But keep an eye on them because they cleared up, I think, about $45 million in cap space. So there's only four or five teams that have a significant amount of cap room. The Blazers are now one of them. And it's pretty clear they're not trading Damian Lillard. They're freeing up money to bring somebody to play with Damian Lillard, so they could be interesting next year. But the other one that really caught all of us off guard, and I got three or four texts. I didn't see this happen in real time. I was out running errands, and then I get a couple of texts like, what are the Kings doing? I'm like, oh boy, what is this? This trade is interesting to me, and you do have to question what this means for some teams in the Eastern Conference moving forward. The details on the trade, I mentioned the Brooklyn Nets. We got to touch on the Brooklyn Nets as well and the role that the Bucks have played in potentially breaking the Nets and now the Los Angeles Lakers. More after this. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Fighting off a recharged crowd here at Los Angeles. Downtown L.A., the venue here, Crypto.com Arena. Pass into the corner. Bobby Portis with a silencing three from the right side.
Three straight games with 20 or more points for Bobby Portis. That ties his career high. So against the Phoenix Suns, maybe redemption for Bobby and a new career high. First trade of the day, as we mentioned, C.J. McCollum going to the New Orleans Pelicans. And then the second trade that seemed to really rock the foundation of NBA Twitter. The Indiana Pacers sending Domas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and a 2027 second-round pick to the Kings for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and the expiring contract of Tristan Thompson. I think how you feel about this trade... Oh, first of all, overwhelmingly, it seems like everybody is scratching their head and saying the Kings stay Kings here and really just, what are they doing? But how you feel about it has to a lot to do with how you feel about Sabonis and Tyrese Halliburton. Now, I need to talk about being careful before. Should be careful with this because Tyrese Halliburton is local royalty.
Welcome closer to home.
I don't dislike Tyrese Halliburton. I think he's a great young player. I just don't think I'm as high on Tyrese Halliburton as it seems like the rest of Twitter is. My initial thought when I saw this deal was, so they got a second Malcolm Brogdon to play with Malcolm Brogdon? And sure enough, I look it up, cleaning the glass. They're identical players in basically every aspect. Rebounding. Tyrese Halliburton, more of a turnover machine than Malcolm Brogdon, but same size. I mean, it's it. He's just 8 years younger, and I think it's fair to say he has a higher ceiling than Malcolm Brogdon. Like, Malcolm Brogdon already reached his ceiling, and he did so early in his career. But to me, this basically tells you it's time to rent in Indiana if you're Malcolm Brogdon, that you're probably going to be moved for parts in the offseason. But I mean, Indiana has some interesting pieces, and I'm going to be curious to see, all right, Now, assuming they don't move Miles Turner, you're alone. So we don't have to worry about the spacing issue and how do you fit with Sabonis. And Tyrese Halliburton is, we said, nice young player. Chris Duarte has played really well for him. So you knew they weren't going to go in full scale, tear it down and rebuild. That's not what Rick Carlisle signed up for. But look, if Tyrese Halliburton has the ceiling that a lot of people think he does, all of a sudden, in the span of 2 years, the Central Division becomes very interesting because the Bulls are already there at a level beyond where they've been. The Cavs are already there. Who knows if Detroit can turn something around here with the way that Cade Cunningham has played this season? They could. I mean, it's more of a marathon than a sprint for the Pistons, and then you have the Bucks. So it makes it interesting in the Central Division. But I do have to get to this too, Craig. Trade deadline is Thursday. Remember the year when the Packers, who else was it? I remember vividly the Cowboys game. I feel like it was 2012-ish, 2011 maybe, when the Packers just destroyed a couple of teams and the coach got fired immediately after, including, was it Wade Phillips coaching the Cowboys then and got fired after the Packers destroyed them at Lambeau? Did the Bucks do the same thing to the Lakers? I'm not saying Frank Vogel is going to get fired, but the fact that this game happened a day and a half before the trade deadline, the Lakers were probably doing something anyway, because when you look at that roster, it's, yeah, this isn't what we thought it would be. But now, like, this is giving me, what year was that, 2016, 2017 with the Cavs vibes, where LeBron just basically flipped 50% of the roster at the trade deadline. It feels like that, especially some of these quotes from LeBron in the postgame. Doesn't matter what lineups are out there. You got to go out there and do your job. We're all trying to figure it out, including the coaching staff.
Oh, everyone's looking at their back. They got a target.
It gets better. Do I think we can reach the level Milwaukee is at right now? No. They're the defending champions, man, for a reason.
Pack your bags. Nobody's safe.
I mean, what do they do, though?
Play GM, full force.
I don't know if you guys would be interested, but I do have a Russell Westbrook that I could put you in for a very reasonable rate. What are you interested in trading?
What's a reasonable rate?
Half of your roster.
Young guards who can shoot.
Now, there have been some Bucks rumors these last couple of days as well. I'm going to ask you, do you think the Bucks do something?
I think they do something, yes. What that is? Phew.
Oh, you don't have an answer there? Oh.
Well,
what the latest is, we're hearing about the Bucks.
That's why I listen to you.
What the latest is, we're hearing about the Bucks, and I mean, what's the Bucks' biggest need right now? Because I think we continue to get good news for a potential trade, sort of. We'll wrap it up with this after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Jockey.
It will tip 7 hours after the NBA trade deadline has come and gone. Do the Bucks make a move on Thursday or before Thursday? You have said yes. I say yes.
Yep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how big is the move?
Ooh, see, I would probably, it makes ripples, but not waves. Yeah, I was going to say 4.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. We did see some intel that there have been discussions between the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. First, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, no.
I mean, look,
your
bench scored 16 points tonight, and that's been the biggest issue that they've had. Is there's just no punch from the bench right now because of a number of issues, but they need some bench help. Now, the back and forth there was. The Bucks, seemingly from these reports, were like, well, hey, we'd give you Dennis Schroeder for Dante from the Celtics. And the Bucks countered with, maybe What about Grant Williams? And the Celtics quickly shot that down. Whatever it takes to get Grant Williams, I would take him. I'm not calling him PJ Tucker because we fell for that with another former Celtic. But he does a lot of those things that PJ did. He's turned into a great corner three-point shooter. He's great as a switching defender. And you just think about, man, what would this guy look like playing next to Giannis in a switching defense? So I'd be all for it. Sounds like the Celtics have no intention or are not in a hurry of trading him. And you can't help but wonder if the call went anything like, what about Williams? And the Celtics are like, which one? And you get flashbacks to that Grizzlies. Was it the Grizzlies and the Suns trade where the Suns thought they were getting Dylan Brooks and then the trade went through and it's like, no, Marshawn Brooks. Like,
right.
Oh, then never mind. We're not interested. Like, what about Williams? Like, which one? Either one of them is fine. So Robert or Grant? Like, yeah, sure. Whichever. Whichever you want to give us, we'll take. We did hear earlier in the day, too, Mark Lazary was on CNBC, and I don't know if this was just blind optimism or if he's starting to tip the hand a little early, but he was pretty optimistic. Brooke Lopez is going to be back, and we saw another report. I don't remember if it was Jake Fisher, but somebody else had the report out there that there's optimism he's going to be back within a couple of weeks. That, to me, is the biggest move the Bucks could make of the deadline, if you will, is getting Brooke Lopez back. But Thursday, trade deadline, 2 o'clock local time, we will have a Bucks shoot-around on Thursday night to recap, if the Bucks don't make anything, what happened around the league. And after the game, Bucks talk, the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns, the best record in the NBA versus one of the hottest teams in the league. My thanks to Greg and Max for producing the show and all of you for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you again Thursday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Life is not about